Good morning. For the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about the importance of reading and reflecting on God's Word and letting it renew our minds and hearts and lives. And this morning, I want to talk about something that we can do together that if we did it, it would change us personally. It would change us in our families. It would change the way we relate to people that we live with, that we work with, that we go to school with. I'm telling you, if we did this one thing and we did it together, I think it would make a huge difference in our lives. I've been thinking about this one thing since May 2011. As many of you know, I have a mentor. His name is Haddon Robinson, and I went through a doctoral program with him, and every May, Haddon and a group of 30 pastors from across the U.S. and Canada get together at a retreat center up in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and Haddon invites a Bible scholar to come, and we study through a whole book of the Bible. And in May 2011, Haddon invited a scholar in the book of Hebrews named George Guthrie, and he wrote the NIV application commentary on Hebrews. And by the way, we are going to begin Hebrews next week. But Dr. Guthrie teaches at Union University in Tennessee, and in addition to being a scholar in the book of Hebrews, George has another passion. And Haddon asked him one afternoon just to go ahead and talk about this other passion of his. And George's passion, I say George and not Dr. Guthrie because I know him personally and we email back and forth and he's helping me get my book republished. So anyway, Dr. Guthrie's passion, if you will, is for the church to get back to basics, And that meaning that the Christians would get back to reading their Bible on a daily basis. And he shared that as a challenge to us pastors. He challenged us to come back to our congregations and challenge our congregations to read through the Bible in a year. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I first heard George say that, I immediately thought, that's crazy. And my friend Chris Dolson, who I room with every year, who's a pastor at Blackhawk Church in Madison, Wisconsin, he was like, no, I don't know about that because, you know, I've been a shepherd for 35 years, and I'm not the sharpest blade in the drawer, but I know something about sheep. And I'm thinking that if I come back and I say that to my sheep will go, bad idea. That the Bible in 1 year, no way. You know, that was my first thought that popped in my mind. So, Chris and I talked about it. We thought it was a bad idea. I didn't do anything with it that first year, but I couldn't get away from the fact that the more I talked to people and asked them about how was their time in the Word, whatever, I found that very few Christians are in the Word on any kind of consistent, regular basis. And so I called Chris for some other reason to check in with him. And come to find out, the guy goes back to his church. He changed his mind. Their church came up with this whole Eat This Book Bible reading plan. And they've been doing it all of 2012. And I'm like, what? You told me you thought it was a bad idea. But it was a great idea. And I talked to several other pastors who went back to their churches and did the same thing. And they all said they thought this was the best thing that their church had ever done together, outside of a capital campaign. This is the best thing that they had ever done together. So I started to talk to different staff and the directional team and mentioned it to the elders, and they liked the ideas. And so we used Dr. Guthrie's Read the Bible for Life videos, or DVDs, in men's groups and women's groups and other various groups. And I called Chris, and I asked him if we could use his Eat the Book plan. And he was very excited for us to use the materials and resources that they had put together, and he is excited about us starting this. And so I pulled key staff together. We began working on pulling these resources together and building a Eat This Book section of our website, posting up resources. And as I've been saying over the last several weeks, as I've been teaching on the importance of Scripture, highlighting, reading, and reflecting it on a daily basis, I've asked you to read through Psalm 119, two sections a day, as a way of praying back these prayers and developing an appetite for the Scriptures. And this morning, I'm challenging you to begin tomorrow to start this Eat This Book Bible reading plan. Now, my prayer has been and is that you would see the great value of this book, and that you would see this book as the primary way that God, through His Spirit, would speak to you, and that you would renew your commitment to having your mind and heart and life shaped by this book, which of course means reading it personally, intentionally, and consistently. So, what is the goal of Eat This Book? What's the goal? Everybody take your Bible and hold it like this. All right, you're going to have to put down your cell phones and quit text messaging. And so just take your Bible and hold it like this. Okay, here's the goal. All right, everybody on three. One, two, three. Open your Bibles. That's the goal right there. All right, let's try it again. Just don't want this to be very difficult. One, two, three. Open your Bible. That's the goal, that you would do this, one, two, three, daily, not regularly, but daily. Daily, open this book and read it. And with the goal that God would use what He's written here and revealed to us in this book to shape us to be people who are characterized by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit, but it is that fruit of the Spirit, it becomes a part of our lives as the Spirit-inspired, Spirit-illumined Word shapes our hearts to become that kind of people. So our goal, number one goal, is not to read through the Bible in a year. That's a goal. If you follow the plan, you'll read through it in a year. But the goal is to daily open the Scripture and be shaped by it. Now, let me tell you why this is a good idea, especially if you've missed the last couple of weeks. Number one, the Bible is the most precious book that a believer owns. It is the most precious thing, the most valuable thing that a Christian possesses. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 19, not Psalm 119, just Psalm 19. Psalm 19. If you do this and open to the middle, it comes out somewhere around Psalms probably. And so we're in Psalm 19. Look at verse 7. Psalm 19, 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules or the instruction of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And what's gold? What's the price of gold per ounce on the market right now? Anybody know? It's $1,684. I looked it up yesterday. $1,684 per ounce. God says, this right here is more precious, more valuable, more important than fine 99.9% gold. I mean, imagine you got a text from a wealthy friend, the wealthiest person you know. I mean, just think of that person right now. The wealthiest person you know, and that person sends you a text and says, I want to give you a large amount of, and then you know, it's like it goes blank. I mean, what do you want to give me? A large amount of what? A large amount of what? I mean, you'd be right there texting right back because you'd want to know, what is it that you want to give me? A large amount of what? Listen, God has texted you and is texting you, and He's saying, I have a large amount of wisdom for you. I got a large amount of encouragement for you. I've got a large amount of wholeness and holiness and vitality and life and peace and encouragement and guidance, and I want to give it to you. It's free. Just eat this book. Another reason I think this is a good idea is because Jesus said to a believer, this book is like food. It's more important than food. Early in His ministry, Jesus was led into the wilderness, and let me put it up on the screen. Here's the passage, Matthew 4. He was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. I think that's an understatement. He was hungry. The tempter came to Him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus believed that this is more important than the food we eat. Now, think with me, as a follower of Jesus, if Jesus believes this book is that important, then we should eat this book. We should be living on every word that comes from the mouth of God, feeding on it, digesting it, letting it shape our minds and hearts and soul. If this book should be our daily bread. God says this book is more precious than gold. Jesus says it's more important than food. Now, another reason that we're excited about this challenge is that the challenge places the responsibility for spiritual growth where it rightfully belongs, and that is on you. I mean, if we're totally honest, I think we would have to agree that many of us come here on Sunday morning and we've become dependent on the teaching we receive here. Because you know when you come here, you're going to hear whoever's up here, they're going to say, take your Bible and turn to, and we turn to a certain passage. And we do that every Sunday because we're about the Bible. Most Sunday mornings, you'll find us teaching through a whole book of the Bible or a long section of Scripture because we take the Bible seriously, and that's good. But the problem is, it's easy to become dependent on someone else for your spiritual development. But listen, Jim and Jonathan and Mark and I, we can't read the Bible for you. We can't do that. We're responsible to help feed you and give you teaching to better understand the Bible. And that's one of the big reasons that we teach through whole books of the Bible is because we challenge you to read through books of the Bible. So we want to teach the Bible in a way that helps you read the Bible. But our teaching, for it to have any real lasting impact, you have to eat this book, open it up daily for yourself. Another thing that I'm excited about this challenge is that it's something that we can corporately do. We can all do this as a community. Starting tomorrow, and I would start tomorrow, this afternoon, use this afternoon to get familiar with everything I'm going to tell you from here on in the message. We can start it. We can do this together. Now, I know some of you, you're still thinking, bad idea. Like I said, when I first heard about this idea, the reason I thought it was crazy is because I know something about sheep. And I know sheep. They go, I'm just so busy. I don't think I can do it. I don't have time. I tried it before and I gave up. I just can't do it. And I think this is a big hurdle to jump. I mean, we're going from a lot of people not reading the Bible at all to asking people to read through the Bible every day and to read through it in a year. Now, when you really think about it, though, it's not that big a deal. Because I don't know how many pages there are in your Bible. It'd be interesting to check this out. But in my Bible, I have 1,042 pages. 1,042 pages, not counting the table of contents and the concordance, because I don't spend time reading and reflecting on those things. But just Genesis to Revelation, 1,042 pages. My Bible is just straight text, no references. It's not a study Bible. This is the Bible I preach from and the Bible I read. I love study Bibles, but this is the one I preach from and read. It has 1,042 pages. It's plain, non-study, no frills. It's just the Bible. So most Bibles like this will have between 1,000 and 1,200 pages. So here, let's do the math. All right, my Bible has 1,042 pages divided by 365 days per year. That's 2.85 pages per day. Now, I'm not really good at reading 2.85 pages per day, but if I read 3 pages a day, I would finish reading the Bible in 347 days. If your Bible has 1,200 pages in it, that's about 3 pages a day. So let's say that I read 4 pages a day. 1,042 divided by 4, that's 260 days. That means I got 105 days left over that I can just slack off. No. We want you to read the Bible every day. But I think what you can see is there's plenty of time not just to read for distance, but to read for depth. There's time to read and reflect and meditate on it there. And listen to this. If I read 4 pages a day, 5 days a week, and then focus on the passage that I'm going to read for Sunday, then in my Bible that comes out to 1,040 pages. So I got 2 left over if I read 5 days a week and spend my time on the weekend preparing my heart for the passage that we're going to study on Sunday. So you see, it's really not that hard. It is doable. It is doable. 4 pages a day. You can do that. I think you can do that. The issue is, do you want to do it? Do you want to do it? Now, to help you want to do it and help you be successful at it, we've put together some resources. The first thing that we're going to do is give you a reading plan. And as you leave this morning, you're going to get a bookmark that has the first 3 months there. But you can also go to the website, which I'll talk about in a minute, and you can download a PDF file of all of the pages. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what we've done, and when we put this plan together so that it is a guilt-free plan, we haven't put dates on it. So it's just check boxes. So it's not like if you miss a week and you look, gosh, look at all that I have to read, you get guilty and you go, I'll never catch up. No, you catch up with this kind of plan, because whatever checkbox you checked off last, if there's 4 days that went by because life got harried and you got out of, you could just pick back up and continue to read it. Now, here's the plan. This is what it looks like. You'll see that tomorrow, which would be day one, you'd read Genesis 1 through 3, and you'd also read Psalm 1. And that happens to be 2.85 pages in my Bible, which I round up to 3. That's how many pages that reading is. Now, one of the things that the guys at Black Hawk did that I thought was ingenious is that they put with each reading a psalm. So they took the psalms out of the chronological order, and you can read one psalm per day. And so the psalms have been the devotional, meditative scriptures for both Jews and Christians for hundreds and hundreds of years. The psalms are like prayers. So each day you'll read from the text of Scripture, but you'll also, at the end of the reading, you'll have a chance to pray back a psalm to the Lord. And there's where a lot of times you'll find a text or two that you'll want to meditate on and carry with you. And if you get into a long section of Scripture where you feel like, I don't know what's going on, I'm getting bogged down, it's 9 chapters of genealogies here, remember, there's always the psalm that's coming. All right, so you got that. And if you find one day that you don't have time to read the 3 or 4 pages, then just read the psalm. Our goal, what's the goal? This. That's the goal. So if all you have time for is to read the psalm, read it. Just be in the Word daily. It's not hard to read it through. I already showed you that. If you stick to the plan, you can read it through. But the goal is to get you to eat this book on a daily basis. And if all you have time for is to read a psalm, just read the psalm. I'm going to do that right now. I need somebody with an iPhone that has that'll go to the clock. And I need someone to time me as I read, okay? So go somebody with who's got it? Hans? Okay, Hans. I'm going to read a psalm. And here, you time me. All right, you ready? All right, go. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all he does he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Stop. How many seconds? 40 seconds. 40 seconds. Someone look me in the eye and tell me you don't have 40 seconds. 40 seconds. We can do this. We can do this. We can all be in the Scriptures every day, even if you just read a psalm. Okay, I know it was a short psalm. All right, all right, all right, all right. There are longer psalms like Psalm 119. It's going to take you longer than 40 seconds to read that. But the point is, it's not hard to do. The goal, to do this every day. Let the Word of God shape us to become the kind of people He's created us to be. We've got other tools available. You can go to our website. You'll see in the banner at the top, this will scroll by. If you click Eat This Book, it'll take you to this page. This is the Eat This Book resource page. You find everything here. This is where you find all the resources. In the first paragraph where you see the blue Bible reading plan, that's where you can get this PDF file. And I know some of us are obsessive about this stuff, so you can download the whole thing at once. And we want it right away, so you can get it right away. What I did was I printed out mine 2 pages per sheet back and front. So this just tucks neatly into my Bible. And see, I'm obsessive about these things. That's why I did it that way. And you can do that as well. So that's the reading plan. Also, on the back of your note-taking sheet today, I've got a Charlie chart that actually I think came from Howard Hendricks way back in Dallas Seminary days. It's been around in this form for several years. But this is the chronological timeline of the Old Testament. And if you see that the middle boxes, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, that's the story. That's the historical record. And so then you see around that, you've got all kinds. This is where the other books fit into the chronology of the Old Testament. You say, why is yours colored and mine is not? Because I colored mine in because I'm obsessive about these things. All right? So this will help you. And what I would do, I would stick this in my Bible or cut it and trim it, and I would glue it in there because this is a very important thing to help you understand how the books of the Bible and the Old Testament fit together. Because you see, the Bible is actually a library of books. It's one book that's a library of 66 books written over 1,500 years by over 40 authors on different continents. Most of the authors didn't know each other, but the Spirit of God superintended the writing of this book, and to my thinking, what books got included in the library here. Now, there's one change to our reading plan that I think is kind of neat, and that is that you'll notice, where did my chart go? In the chart, First and Second Chronicles covers the same time span as Samuel and Kings. And so rather than read that back-to-back, where you're reading very similar information back-to-back, we've put First and Second Chronicles as the very last thing that you read in the Old Testament. Why do we do that? Because the Jewish Bible, in the Jewish Bible, the last book of the Old Testament is Chronicles. Because for the Jewish people, they saw Chronicles as a summary of the entire Old Testament. And the first 9 chapters are genealogies that go from Adam all the way to David. And Chronicles is written to say David is the Davidic covenant is what God is going to fulfill. And so everything in Chronicles puts David in a good light. Because what the Hebrew writers wanted to show is that we're looking for a Messiah to come who would sit on the throne of David. So you're going to read Chronicles. Then you go to Matthew. And how does Matthew begin? With a genealogy that goes from Adam to Christ, shows that Jesus is that descendant. So that's kind of cool how that's put together like that. Okay, back to the website. In the middle section there, you'll see something that says step-by-step instruction to help you track your reading plan on your computer or mobile device. Using YouVersion. Now, YouVersion is the largest web Bible in the world. If you don't have it, you can download the free app on your smartphone or your iPad or your mobile device. And what you need to do when you go to the App Store is just type in Bible. If you type in YouVersion, there are all kinds of other things that come up and you can get sidetracked. But the icon for YouVersion is a little brownish red icon that says Holy Bible on it. And if you type in just Bible, that's the first hit you'll get. You can download that. When you click on the blue words computer or mobile device, you'll get step-by-step instructions on how to set up an account and how to find your way through all the Bible plans, to browse through the plans to the whole Bible plans. And you'll find Eat This Book there under whole Bible plans. You can choose the translation that you want. We preach from ESV here, but you can use NIV, NLT. Use the best translation for you in something like a Bible reading program is the one you'll actually read. So you can choose your translation, and most of them have audio capability. meaning that there's a little speaker at the bottom. When you get to your day, you can have the Bible read to you. And you can listen to it on your way to work or on your way to and from exercise or wherever. You can listen to the Bible being read. And that's a good thing because that's the way Old Testament people and New Testament people, before printing presses and before people were able to hold this in their hand, most people heard it read. So you can listen to it on YouVersion. It's all free. It's all free right there. On YouVersion, the plan, when you start the plan, it does have dates with it. So that'll give, if you want to do that, it'll give you more structure, but you can manipulate the plan so that it works for you. One more resource on our website that we got from the folks at Black Hawk is down there under on the bottom. There's a blue link that says a series of videos. It's there in the middle of the page. That'll take you to this page, which is called The Bible in 5. Now, listen, in some places, the Bible can be a difficult book to read because the Bible wasn't written to us. It was written for us. The Bible wasn't written to us. It was written for us. It was written to people living thousands and thousands of years ago who lived in a different time and place, a very different culture. It still has incredible relevance for us today because God still speaks through it to us. But it's easy. It is easy to get to a section of Scripture and you're going, I don't have any idea what's going on here. I'm lost. So the pastors at Black Hawk put together this series of videos called The Bible in 5. And a former pastor there, whose name is Tim Mackey, who has a Ph.D. in Hebrew from University of Wisconsin at Madison, he's done these 5-minute videos that will walk you through a book that you're reading or a section of Scripture. And all of these videos give you like a 3,000-foot overview of the book, and he will tell you what to look for, the big ideas, what to look for as you read the book. Would you like to see Dr. Tim in action? All right, let's watch a little clip of the video. You would watch this one this week, actually.
All right, you guys are diving into the second main chunk of the book of Genesis. Last week, you were in the first main part, and you'll recall that it sets up the storyline of the entire Bible. It's the story of Yahweh, the Creator God. He makes all things. He creates humanity to be an authority, to rule, and to help the world flourish and prosper, and humans choose sin and rebellion. And so the stories of rebellion, you remember, just were about the world and humanity just spinning out of control in sin and selfishness. The next main section of the book is what God is doing to respond to human rebellion and sin, and that's in Abraham and his family. So remember, the key hinge piece of the entire book was right here in chapter 12. God promises to Abram that he's going to bless him. He's going to make him into a great nation, a family. And somehow, we're not specified, but somehow through Abram's family, he's going to bring blessing to all nations, blessing and salvation to the rebellious world. And so the camera zooms in on Abraham and his family in chapters 12 through 50. And there's just a couple key themes here that unite all of these stories. So the first thing you'll find is that God maintains his promise to bless. And so the blessing to Abram and then to the following generations is repeated over and over and over again. Look for the words blessing as you read through the book. So there's the stories about Abraham. In a couple key chapters right in here, chapters 15 and 17, God makes a formal promise to Abraham, a covenant, it's called in the Bible. It's God's commitment to his promise that he's going to save and bless and redeem humanity through Abraham's family. And so you read through, the promise is passed on from Abraham and then to Isaac, his son, and then to Jacob. And then it's passed on through Jacob's 12 sons, and particularly to two sons that get focused on at the latter half of the book, the sons of Joseph and the sons of Judah. So that's one main theme, is that the promise gets continued on through the book.
Pretty good, huh? Very good. It's very good stuff, And on the website, we have all of the videos to go along with the books of the Bible or sections. And in fact, it would be a good one to prepare for Hebrews. Watch the one on Hebrews. It is very well done. And if you're in a small group or something else and you're studying through 1 Peter, watch the one on that. So these are resources that can help us all kinds of different ways. Then back to the website page at the very bottom of the page, there are some resources. We've only listed three. One is an ESV study Bible. Another one is the Essential Bible Companion by John Walton, which is just a two-page overview of every book in the Bible. And then the NIV Compact Bible Commentary by John Salehammer. These are all helpful resources. I would the second one, I think, is maybe the best one. But we only put three there because we would rather you be reading the Bible and using the videos. But if you want to pick these up, you can pick them up at Crossway Christian Books down on North Street. If they don't have them, it only takes a couple of days to get them. And so I would encourage you to shop local, shop Crossway. So those are the tools that we're going to use. All right, a little shameless plug for Crossway. Anyway, let me give you a couple quick pointers on how to read the Bible every day. First pointer, number one, pick a time and a place. Pick a time and a place that works for you every day. You need a time and a place. Most people I know say that first thing in the morning is the best time. Might not be for you. Might be lunchtime or a break during the day. Might be night. But to have the same time each day develops a habit and a routine. Pick a place. Pick the same place each day. Find a quiet room in your house, if there's no quiet rooms, find a closet somewhere. Go in and hibernate. Jonathan Edwards' wife, Sarah, I'm told, or I've read, she would pull her rocking chair into a corner and pull an apron over her head while her 9 or 12 children were running around screaming. And so that's how she had her time alone with God. For some people, sitting in the car before they head to work, that works. Remember, you can listen to the passage on your way to work. When you get to the psalm, don't close your eyes when you get ready to pray it if you're driving, all right? Second thing, I alluded to this, but read for distance and read for depth. Tim Keller says he reads through the Bible several times a year because he believes that constant exposure to large chunks of Scripture is life-changing. It helps you develop a God-centered, Bible-shaped worldview. So read for distance. Don't let yourself get bogged down in details or things you don't understand. So when you come to a genealogy, it's okay to read fast. Just remember that when a genealogy is in the Bible, that's God's way of saying, see how I'm keeping my promise from generation to generation. That's why genealogies are in the Bible. Because we see in that genealogy, they show us how faithful God is in keeping his promise through people of faith from one generation to the next. When you happen upon a long list of names of all the people who went into exile and all the people who came back from exile, just stop and thank God that, boy, if he knows their names and he wrote down their names in this book, then rejoice over the fact that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you read through all those Levitical laws, remember that all those laws were given to help ancient Israel to do one or more of these three things: to love God supremely, to love your neighbor sacrificially, and to live differently from people who don't know God. All the laws come under those three categories. Now, love God supremely, love each other sacrificially, live differently from people who don't know God. You might not understand what all those laws mean. I'm quite sure that the children of Israel, when they first heard it, didn't understand what they mean. But you can thank God that he has shown you in the gospel of Christ in human form what it looks like to love God supremely and love your neighbor sacrificially and live differently from the culture that we live in. So read for distance. Don't get bogged down. Keep reading. And read for depth, meaning look for a tweet. Look for a tweet. Look for a verse or two or maybe a paragraph that you would write down on a 3x5 card and carry it with you through the day. You don't have to do this every day. There's In my car, I have a 3x5 card that has two verses on it that I've been meditating on all week. Didn't mean that I didn't find something else in my reading that wasn't helpful. I've just decided to saturate my mind with those couple of truths, and that's okay. The whole idea is you're reading for distance, but you want to let something, a passage, an idea, sink deeper into your soul. Third thing is look for big ideas in the text. Don't get bogged down in details. I keep saying that. Are you hearing that? Don't get bogged down in details. The Bible in 5 videos will help you with those big ideas. Haddon Robinson says, and I've heard him say this a number of times, he said there's only 10 or 12 ideas in the Bible. They're stated, they're repeated, they're developed, and they're fulfilled. I mean, things like God is our creator, he's our redeemer, God is sovereign, he's just and his word is true. He's faithful to keep his promises even when his people are unfaithful. He loves us and he forgives us. He never gives up on us. And therefore, he is worthy of all of our praise and thanks and honor and blessing and glory. There are other things that we need to look for in the scripture. And that is that this world is not the good world that God created it to be. When we look around us and we see the violence and the oppression and the immorality, we understand that the first of us rebelled against God, as Tim said in the video there. We rebelled against God, and so that means this is not the world God created it to be. We are not the people God first created us to be. Our hearts are idol factories, so our tendency is to live for ourselves rather than God. But in Christ, it's where the fulfillment of a lot of these themes, they find their fulfillment right here. God justifies and makes new all who trust in Christ for forgiveness and life. He puts his very own spirit inside us to speak through us, through his word and the promptings of his spirit that are in line with his word. And our hope is future. Our hope is set on the fact that God has promised that he will one day, Christ will come and set things right. So to my count, Haddon never has told us what he thinks the 10 or 12 are, but I just wrote these down with some help from Jim Thompson. But look for big ideas. Now, one of the very best things that you can do every day, it's very simple, very easy, is when you finish your reading, just take a breath, bow your head, and find something in all that you've read that day just to thank God for. This book invites participation. It's not information. It's revelation that invites participation and interaction. And one of the very best, easiest, most simple things you can do to interact with your reading is simply to thank God for something that you've seen in his word that day. So you get the idea. Pick a time, pick a place, read for distance and depth, meditate on a tweet, read for big ideas to keep popping up in the storyline, and finally, do not give up. This is a guilt-free plan. If you miss a few days, you just pick back up where you left off. Pick back up and keep going. So our goal this year is to get back to basics. And there's nothing more basic, more precious, more valuable for you and me as children of our Heavenly Father than for us to daily be listening for God to speak to us through his Spirit-inspired, Spirit-illumined Word. Listen, everybody, life's difficult. Life's difficult. Sometimes it is just overwhelming, and we can complain and we can whine about it, or we can get on the solution side of all that. We can pick up what God has given us, what many people around the world wish that they had. But we can open this book, read it, reflect on it, and be shaped by what God is saying so we become the kind of people that God has created us to be. It will happen if we eat this book. Who's in? Who's in? That's encouraging. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful We have so many things that we take for granted. We got clean water, good food, great roads, homes to live in, clothes on our back, and we got this Bible. There are many people who gave their lives so we could have this book. There are thousands of people who would love to have this book translated into their language. And we've got a gazillion versions and all kinds of resources. We could read it. We can listen to it. It's there. It's like food and water. It's everywhere. We pray that you, Father, would incline our hearts to taste the sweetness of this book. Incline our hearts to savor what you say to us in this book. Holy Spirit, teach us, encourage us, strengthen us, correct us. Give us the desire and the resolve to do this as your church, to do this together, that we would eat this book together and get to know you better, to be reshaped by your Spirit in this book. And we pray this in Christ's name and for his reputation.